This is HPR episode 2017 entitled, Here Are My Thoughts on a 3D Printer Kit. It is hosted by Cheeto4493 and is about 13 minutes long. The summary is, bought a 3D printer kit. My thoughts on how it went together.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello there, Hacker Public Radio. This is Travis again. You might remember me that I did a recording on tips and tricks with Audacity. Well, I thought I'd like to start a series on 3D printers and the kit I bought and why I bought that one, and probably do another show on the software and stuff, and then a third one on some improvements I've done on the kit and some changes that were made, and maybe I'll just keep going from there. I'll just have to see how many recordings I'll make out of this. I'll try to do several short ones as opposed to one long one. Just a background on the printer. The one I'd end up getting is a, what they call a fused filament fabrication, which is basically where you melt plastic or a wax or something like that, and it's laid one layer on top of another layer or next to it, and basically the material is added that way. Easiest way to think about it is kind of like a hot glue gun, where you're just laying down layers of melted material on top of something else, as opposed to some different types of fabrication. One is called stereolithography, or selective laser sintering, where basically a laser is used to cure a UV resin in a vat one layer at a time and then add it on. I know that method can provide more accurate prints, but the cost of the material is fairly expensive. I forget how much the resin is per ounce, but it does get quite expensive. Where the fused filament, that material has become fairly cheap, where you can get a 1 kilogram, which is a 2.2 pound spool, for about $30 with shipping, and that can last quite a while. Offhand, I remember someone saying that can make like 200 regular sized chess pieces out of one spool, so it does take a little while to go through that. So there's not a huge expense there. The printer I ended up getting, I decided to go with a kit because that's kind of what fit in my budget. And I'm kind of a hands-on person and was able to put a kit together. I think if you're going to get your own 3D printer and actually do it yourself, you almost need to be kind of a hands-on person, because they are not really like a desktop printer where you just send your text to it and it prints it out on a sheet of paper. There's a lot of fine-tuning you can do, changing options, the speed of the print, temperature, all kinds of things can make changes in your print and how they come out and how things fail or how things work. So you kind of need to be, like I said, a hands-on person who can get in there and play with things. You don't just expect things to just pop out like a Star Trek replicator. So like I said, I ended up getting a kit. I did a little bit of shopping around and ended up getting one from AliExpress, just an online order place that I sometimes use. I ended up spending about $230 US That was in the fall of 2015. I looked, they're about the same price now. Some are more expensive. It just kind of depends on sale prices and stuff. The brand I got was a Zone Star. I only mentioned that one because I had good luck with the kit. And so if I was to buy another one, I would definitely buy another Zone Star. There were a few issues with the shipping and stuff, but they were mild and overlookable. I was looking on the AliExpress where I ordered it from, and customers have rated that one a 4.7 out of 5 stars, and that's with over 780 votes. So it's got a pretty good reputation there. It even came with its own tools to put it together, so you didn't have to get any tools. Like I said, I had a few problems. Mine was missing some screws. I think it had some wrong screws. It may be like they changed some of the way the kit went together and replaced some things, but didn't change the hardware out to match it. So I ended up going down to the hardware store and buying some metric screws for a couple dollars. No big deal there. Mine was also missing the spool holder that holds the spool, just kind of the metal bar in between. I ended up getting a dowel rod and stick it in there. So that ended up working out okay for me. Also came with the wrong plug. I specified a U.S. plug, but it came with a European plug of some type. I'm not sure. But I had one of those as well, so not a big deal on my part. There was a slight delay in shipping. I ended up ordering it right about the time of a Chinese holiday. So I think it was another week or so before it got shipped out. But once it shipped out, I think I actually got it within like 3 days to the U.S. So I was quite pleased with the shipping. Few features of the printer. The print size, what it'll print is it says 220 millimeters by 220 millimeters wide and 230 millimeters tall. I think most of the RepRap models, they say they're generally 200 by 200 by 200. So I bet that's probably what this one is. They're probably just squeezing a few extra millimeters out in the margins there somewhere. The printer I got was a RepRap Prusa Mendel i3 kit. And basically that RepRap is just a form of printer that's got an open hardware type that allows, basically it was meant to be able to print its own parts. So once you get a RepRap, you can actually print some of the parts. You can't print the rails, you can't print the motors, but you can print some of the support pieces. Prusa is actually the name of the guy who came up with that design. And the i3 is the third iteration. It's the newest and most current 3D printer design by RepRap Core developer Prusa Jr. The i3 incorporates lessons learned from the previous two Prusa designs as well as other popular, more modern RepRap designs. Kind of what I got off the wiki. Also, the printer included a heated bed, which allows you to use the materials such as ABS, and nylon, which can experience significant warping if printed on a cold platform. And from my testing, yeah, it does require a heated bed. You almost kind of need to even be print in a room without a lot of drafts, because sometimes a cool breeze blowing over the printer can cool off your part enough to cause it to warp. On assembling the printer, I think I had read some stuff on assembling those that a lot of people say it takes them about 6 hours. I think that's what it ended up taking me. I thought I could maybe get it done a little quicker, but I was wrong. It took me about that long. Part of that, I think, was I kind of read through the instructions first and then looked back through it, and I sorted out all my screws, and it came packaged very well. Everything was wrapped up and labeled, and all the sides had like stickers on them that were showing which ones were which. The instructions were kind of like Lego instructions, just kind of pictures that show where everything went and how many of what you needed. I kind of gave their instructions about a B-, mainly because they did no explanation of where wiring runs. So I'd get like the motor put on and then find out, well, it'd work better if the motor was turned around the other direction, so the wires ran out the other side, so I'd have to take the motor off, put the motor back on. I noticed that brand, when I was looking at the specifications today, that the new one comes with a video. I don't remember mine having a video. It was just a PDF document. So their instructions may have gotten a little better. I'm hoping. Like I said, they weren't terrible, but I'd give it about a B, B minus. The body frame of the printer is acrylic, quarter inch or 6 millimeter acrylic, and the hardware is all nuts and bolts. And you just kind of put the nut in a slot and then put the other piece on and then tighten the bolt in. And like I said, it went together fairly well. It was kind of crooked as I assembled it. I had to loosen some few nuts up and set it on the table, get it straightened back out square, and then tighten the nuts back up. But once I got it totally assembled and plugged it in, ran through the test just fine. I think first time I plugged it into my computer, I did have a problem with a USB driver, and I think I had to download the proper USB driver for it. It came with an SD card that had the hardware, had the PDF on an SD card, may have had the software on the card as well that goes on the computer. The firmware for the printer was already installed on the printer, so I didn't have to do anything there. Once I got the driver installed and I installed the software, plugged it in, and it ran its first test very well. Everything, got the motors all hooked up, and all the motors were running. Heater was working well. There's a few things you have to do with leveling the bed. And so that makes it part of the one that kind of hands-on thing. You have to go in there and adjust the height of the bed to get it straight and level. It is not a fast printer. It does take it a little while to print things out. Take it a couple hours to print a small item to 5 or 6 hours if you wanted to print something pretty good size. I ended up putting my printer out in my garage, mainly because of two things. One is the smell of the plastic. I bought two different types of plastic when I got mine. I got the PLA, which is a biodegradable plastic, and it actually doesn't smell when it heats up. And then I got ABS plastic, and the ABS gives off a little bit of odor as it's printing. That's one of the reasons why I put it in the garage. And the other is that the printer kind of has a tendency to sing a little bit. The stepper motor is spinning back and forth. It actually makes a little bit of a noise. And I just figured if it was inside and it was a 2 or 3 hour print, that might get a little old after a while. So I actually set it up in my garage with a computer out there to run the prints off of. And that works fairly well for me. Like I said, if I was to do it again, I think I would definitely order another printer kit just like that one. The only other thing I might do different is if I had a little bit more budget to spend on it, I might get the dual head instead of the single head. And basically what that does is allows you to do rather like two different colors. You can load different colors of filament in each head, or you can even do different types of material. So if you wanted some parts to be a hard plastic and others to be a soft plastic, you can do that. I think I'll end it right there. I think my next episode, I think I'll actually talk about some of the different types of plastics as well, because there are quite a few of those, a lot of different options to choose from. Thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you next episode.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.